Tonight I'm so glad that you come here and that you invite me here. And I want to always accept your invitation. And today I want to hear like I've never heard before. Something's different. And I want to hear like I've never heard before because I want you, Jesus. I want you, Jesus. And I need to know how to live you more. I need to know how to live in your kingdom, live your way, live your relationships. I need you more than ever, and I don't want to just take baby steps. I want this to be like a quantum leap in my life, Lord. I mean, like take a huge, huge step. Go forward, never to be the same. Teach me how, Jesus. Amen. Relationships. Jesus spoke about relationships. I'm just going to give you a few words that he called them. He called them disciples. Sometimes he called them followers and friends. Disciples. He called them friends. And he called them family, brother, sister, mother. Okay? I want us to look at a few verses on that right at the beginning. Now, some of you are disciples. And as we read this, you're going to find out what that is. There was different kinds of disciples. There was common disciples, just people that heard him and they followed him. But maybe they followed him for a season. They followed him a little so far. They followed him at a distance. But they followed him. Then there was others that he called my disciples. To be one of his disciples, there was requirements that he gives. We're going to talk about that. But right now, I just want us to look at 1, 2, 3, 4 passages that talks about disciples, friends, and family, what Jesus calls. So let's look at Matthew chapter 12, and we're going to start with verse 46. Matthew 12, 46. While Jesus yet talked to the people, behold, his mother and his brethren stood without, desiring to speak with him. Then one said unto him, behold, thy mother and thy brethren stand without, desiring to speak with thee. But he, Jesus, answered and said unto him that told him, who is my mother, and who are my brethren? And he, Jesus, stretched forth his hand toward his disciples and said, behold, my mother and my brethren. For whosoever shall do the will of my Father which is in heaven, the same is my brother and sister and mother. John chapter 8 and verse 31. John chapter 8 and verse 31. Actually, going to read verse 30 also. As Jesus spake these words, many believed on him. Then said Jesus to those Jews which believed on him, if ye continue in my word, then are ye my disciples indeed. Chapter 13, verse 35, please. Chapter 13, verse 35. John. Talking about disciples. Talking about Jesus' disciples. By this shall all men know that ye are my disciples, if ye have love one to another. Chapter 15, verse 14. Chapter 15, verse 14. Jesus said, ye are my friends, if you do whatsoever I command you. He talked about family. He talked about disciples. He talked about friends. I dare you to take those four passages I gave you, Matthew 12, John 8, John 13, John 15, and do a comparison. What did God say? What was the same common thread throughout all four of those passages? There was one thing that Jesus said. You need to go look at that. We have concepts of what words mean. need to be willing to lay down our concepts and find out what Jesus has to say. We need to be willing to look and find. You want Jesus, correct? You want more of Jesus. Then, folks, one of those passages says, as he spake these words, many believed on him. You could believe on him. You could be saved. Now he says, if you're going to be my disciple, he says, if you continue in my word, okay, we need to check our lives out according to his word, not according to our opinion of what he thinks, what he says, his way. When I was a Baptist, we had the Baptist way of looking at things. And you have the different churches and denominations, they have their way of looking at things. Those are not being necessarily his disciples. To be his disciples, we need to have a standard. We need to have something that we check it against. And it is called the Word of God. Jesus said so right there, John chapter 8. If you continue in my word, then are you my disciples indeed. Dear Holy Spirit, here's our prayer. Dear Holy Spirit, I'm asking you to begin to work in me, to help me examine my life, or let you examine my life, the things I think, the things I do. Where are they in the Word of God? What does the Word of God have to say about them? How I treat people, how I think, the decisions I make. I commit this into your hand. I'm asking you to do it. I'm looking forward to what you're going to do. Thank you, Jesus. I want you to look in, I'm giving you some homework. I just gave you some homework. Did you get the homework? The four passages? I want you to write them down. I'm giving you a thought that's going to help you. You get to choose what you do with this. Some just here. Some go a little further. They write them down. And then they do what I've done a lot of times, and they store them somewhere. And then some, we have not all been guilty of this. And then some go a little further, and they take and they look at them later, and they meditate on them, think about them, pray over them. Some go a little further, and they follow instructions, and they do the homework, and they write down, what is the similarities in these verses? What is God saying here? Why does he repeat himself but say it in different words? What does he want me to get out of it? And then write it down and then bring your homework in. Years ago, 1993, please, God says to me, you're going to start Evangelistic Training Center. You're going to train ministers. I said, Lord, I went 9 years to Bible college, and I don't see how it helped me. I got so much more out of what my pastor taught me and the principles. And when I went to Bible college, I don't really see why I needed that, Lord. And I did it for 9 years. I said, and then I preached around the country, and as I went around to different ministers, they may be strong in some areas, but I found there was so much of Jesus that was lacking. And America's going to hell in a hurry. And I'm not sure that Bible college helped them. God, what do you mean you're going to have me start Evangelistic Training Center? What does that mean? And he basically said, I'm going to have you train ministers. Train people to be my ministers. And I'm like, but Lord, I don't know what that means. I don't know what that's going to look like. And without going through more of it, I just feel like I'm supposed to capitalize it by saying this. He said, I said, do you want me to teach them all the ways? He said, you are going to be teaching some things. He says, but what I really want you to do is I want you to challenge them in ways in a certain area at times, you know. I want you to challenge them. And then I want you to give them some verses, what I call jump start verses, like jump start in a car. I'm jump-starting you in an area. And then God said, now, if they're going to be my disciples, if they're going to be trained, he said, then they need to stand up, take the word, those verses you gave them, write them down, go further. Not just be one that came and stood on the hill hoping that he was going to come pray for them. Somebody who come and said, oh, these are gracious words. All those things are true. And if that's the level you want to live at, that's okay. But see, I'm more desperate for that. I'm more desperate than that. I have got to have more of Jesus. I've got to have him in my everyday life. I got to know how to live life, the Jesus life, because I know how to live the natural life. I know how to live in my emotions, you know. Do exercise in my emotions, you know, like fly off the handle and jump to conclusions and run off at the mouth. But those are bad exercises. But that's how I exercise in the emotions. But I'd rather exercise in the spirit. You understand? I'd rather live everything about Jesus we can have. We have, it's at our disposal, but how do we turn it on? How do we live that? We're talking about this. He said, Harv, you're going to challenge them in ideas. It's going to be different than what they're used to. And then you're going to give them some verses after challenging them, stirring them in a direction. He said, because you're going to give them what I tell you to do. He said, and then I'm going to poke them. He said, and that's why inside you're going to feel like, yeah, what you're saying is, yeah. He's like, now, if they're going to be my disciples, he said, they have to go forward from here. They've got to meditate on this. They've got to go and look it up. They got to go and ask me, reveal this, God. They got to spend some time with me if they're going to go forward with me. I want us to look at, start with Matthew chapter 5 and verse 1. We're going to talk about disciples, just common disciples. Matthew chapter 5, verse 1. Now, just after I do this for a while, I'm going to ask you if you're seeing something, but let's just do this. And seeing the I'm talking about those of you that he's called to minister. And seeing the multitudes, he, Jesus, went up into a mountain. And when he was set, his disciples came unto him. If we want Jesus, we've got to come unto him. We got to make a choice that we're coming unto him. Nothing's going to stop us. We've got to make a choice. I'm going after Jesus. Chapter 8 and verse 18, please. Chapter 8, verse 18. Now when Jesus saw great multitudes about him, he gave commandment to depart unto the other side. Now wait a minute. Explain this. I don't get this. When great multitudes came unto Jesus, he said, let's go over there. Let's get away from the crowd. But aren't we after a crowd? Don't we want a crowd? When we have a whole crowd come, isn't that what we're, you know, would like? A whole bunch of people come? I remember I walked into Walmart one time down in Texas. I don't remember what I was after because I never got it. But I got what God wanted. And when I walked in there, there was a man over there. And God drew my attention and said, go talk to that man. I said, okay. So as I walked over, then God told me what he wanted. By the way, move at what he tells you and he'll give you more. If I'd have stood there and say, why do you want me to go over there? I've done that. Have you ever done that? And he doesn't tell you, does he? Because he gives you what you need as you're going. Faith is an action word. When you move on what he tells you, he'll give you more. So as I walked toward the man, he told me what to do. And without going into the whole story, as I started talking to this man about Jesus, a crowd gathered around. And there must have been, I don't know, 15 to 20 people around us. And the Holy Spirit, while I'm talking to this man, said, Harvey, stop, look around. I stopped and I looked around. And this is Walmart and all these shelves, you know. And all the people were standing there with their hands on their shelves looking at me talk. But they all acted like they were shopping. Maybe they were, but their attention got arrested. You know what the Holy Spirit said to me? He said, Harvey, I want you to take this man And I want you to go outside and deal with him, because if you stay in here, you'll get distracted by the crowd. And I took that man out, and that man ended up accepting Christ. And when I was baptizing him, when he came up out of the water, he told me that God called him to preach while he was under the water. And then I turned to his two brothers and said, did y'all see Jesus? And both of them ended up meeting Jesus. Now, we want to focus on the crowd. And that's what I would have done if I'd have stayed there. I'd have got caught up trying to preach to the whole crowd. In the Bible, did you notice that Jesus goes after individuals? Did you notice that? We're in chapter 8, verse 18. Now when Jesus saw great multitudes about him, he gave commandment to depart unto the other side. And a certain scribe came and said unto him, Master, I will follow thee whithersoever thou goest. One of his followers said, because see, all this crowd's around, and Jesus said, hey, let's go over there. So all his disciples, his followers, walked with him. You know, like Pigpen and Snoopy, Charlie Brown, you know, had his little cloud of followers, you know. And he went over there. And one of them said, Master, I'll go wherever you go. And Jesus, being himself, said, really? The foxes have holes, the birds of the air have nests, but the Son of Man hath not where to lay his head. He said, it's not going to necessarily be like what you think to follow me, to go where I'm going. It's not going to necessarily be comfortable. I don't even have a place to call home. It's real easy. You ever done that? I'm going to follow Jesus no matter what. And the next day, you're not even thinking about him. You're off just doing your own thing. You ever made those big boasts, you know? We do that, right? That's why Jesus says words to bring us back to reality, like what's really in you. Are you ready to take the next step? That's a disciple. Are you ready to take the next step? Not all these big flowing words. That doesn't mean anybody can say that. You know, just because a car has a loud horn don't mean there's gas in the tank. Just because somebody's loud and making all these things don't mean there's character enough to fulfill it. You follow me? So, Jesus says some words to challenge the man by what he said. And another of his disciples said unto him, Lord, suffer me first to go and bury my father. But Jesus said unto him, follow me and let the dead bury their dead. This man's dad wasn't even dead yet. It's not like the man's dad died and he's there with Jesus, because in the Bible it teaches that when somebody died, they buried him the same day. You can find that in the widow of Nain, her son that had died. He had died that same day and they were taking him to bury him. The man was saying, Jesus was calling him, and the man was like, well, suffer me first. In other words, allow me first. And Jesus is like, no, if you're going to follow me, then it's going to be me first, Jesus first, not you first. He says, are you going to follow me? He said, then it's not you first, and it's not your ways. And he says, and those people, he said, let the dead bury their dead. He said, you may not be here. That's important to take care of your dad. He said, but I'm calling you. Don't procrastinate. I'm calling you. Don't wait. I'm calling you. Don't say when it's convenient, when I do things the way I think. He says, I'm calling you. He withdraws himself. We must make a choice to follow, to go after. Look at Matthew chapter 9, and we'll start with verse 10, please. Matthew chapter 9 and verse 10. And it came to pass, as Jesus sat at meat in the house, behold, many publicans and sinners came and sat down with him and his disciples. And when the Pharisees saw it, they said unto his disciples, Why eateth your master with publicans and sinners? But when Jesus heard that, he said to them, they that be whole need not a physician, but they that are sick. But go ye and learn what that meaneth. I will have mercy and not sacrifice, for I came not to call the righteous, but sinners to repentance. Then came to him the disciples of John, saying, why do we and the Pharisees fast off, but thy disciples fast not? Sinners came to Jesus and his followers. Sinners were drawn. Sinners were welcome. Do we welcome sinners? They came to them. Do you understand? Because they talked to them about God. It's not like they went and hung out at the bar and said, I'm going to talk about God. They brought them. People came to them. They wanted. But I want you to notice that they were questioned. The followers of Jesus were questioned by people that were religious spirited, people that were fault finding. And then they were also questioned by true believers. But they had different questions. They had differences. You're going to meet people that say they're following Jesus, but they're going to bow our differences. They're going to question you. They're not going to understand you. Why do you do this? Why don't y'all do that? They're not going to understand. Religious spirited people. People that are just accusing and fault-finding, and you're going to have people that do that. That's what happened with the followers of Jesus. Turn to verse 25. We're in Matthew chapter 9. Turn to verse 25, please. But when the people were put forth, is that where I want to be? Nope. Verse 35, I'm sorry. And Jesus went about all the cities and villages, teaching in their synagogues. Synagogues was like a church, okay? It went about all the cities and villages teaching their, like, churches for Jews, okay? Small congregationals. And preaching the gospel of the kingdom and healing every sickness and every disease among the people. But when Jesus saw the multitudes, he was moved with compassion on them because they fainted and were scattered abroad as sheep having no shepherd. Then saith he unto his disciples, the harvest truly is plenteous, but the laborers are few. Pray therefore the Lord of the harvest that he will send forth laborers into his harvest. I want you to notice that Jesus shares his vision. He shares his heart with his disciples. Jesus sees the people and he's moved with compassion. When you see people, are you? Because if you hang out with Jesus, you're going to be moved with compassion. If he's inside of you, he's going to stir up. You're going to see other people's needs. That's what's going to happen if you're a disciple of Jesus. And Jesus began to share his heart, share his vision. And he said, you need to pray that the Lord of the harvest would send forth laborers into his harvest. Now, before we go on, let's see, because in Matthew chapter 10, but where do I want to go? Luke. Let's jump out of Matthew for a minute and go to Luke chapter 6 and verse 12, if I remember correctly. Luke 6, 12 and 13. This is Luke's account of the same passage. Luke 6, verses 12 through 13. Sorry to say, are you there? But I'm not even there yet. Are you ready? And it came to pass in those days that he went out into a mountain to pray. And he continued all night in prayer to God. Now, what did he just told his disciples? He just shared his heart, saw the multitude, you know, was moved with compassion. He saw them as sheep having no shepherd. He said, you need to pray that the Lord of the harvest would send forth laborers. Jesus, in Luke chapter 6, verse 12, parallel passage, and it came to pass those days that he, Jesus, went out in a mountain to pray. I don't know if you know this, But when I tell you to do things, God deals with me. Am I doing it? Okay? And there's things that I will ask you to do, and you may or may not do them. But He'll have me do them whether you do them or not. And that's what Jesus did. Jesus went out and prayed and continued all night in prayer to God. Verse 13, and when it was day, He called unto Him His disciples, and of them He chose 12, whom also He named apostles. Jesus had a bunch of followers. They were disciples, His disciples. They were being discipled by Him. They were being taught by Him. They were following Him. But Jesus went and He prayed and said, God, Father, who do You want me to choose? Because He had a group, but not he knew everybody wasn't going to follow. Everybody was going to follow at different distances from Him. Do you know what I'm talking about? Am I making sense here? How close to Him do you want to be? And Jesus said, Father, who do You want me to choose? I love all these guys, but who do You want me to choose? And He had him choose 12. The next day, He drew them all together, and Jesus went through the group, and He chose 12. Back in February, I don't know if, where that is in my notes, but February of 2011, Jesus asked me a question. One day He just interrupted my life and said to me, Harvey, would you be willing to lay your life down, not go anywhere for the rest of your life, and just stay here at Burning Bush and train the 12? He asked me that in February of 11. He's told me that I'm going to reach millions of people. Brother Steve, one day when we were in the other building and we were talking about winning souls, and Steve was talking about it and had tears in his eyes. And I said, man, and as we were talking, it was during a men's meeting, and I'm like, man, I want to reach more people. I want to reach so many more people. And while we were talking, he said the Lord told him that God had already reached over 100,000 people through me. And I'm like, wow, great. But it's like, that's not enough, because I don't want one to go to hell. I don't want one to live in hell on this earth. Do you know that this earth is either as close as you're going to get to heaven or as close as you're going to get to hell? I want this earth, if it's as close as I'm going to get to hell, I want that to be it. I don't want this earth to be as close as I'm going to get to heaven. If you're lost, this is the closest you'll ever get to heaven. If you're saved, this is the closest you'll ever get to hell. Get it? I don't want anyone, I don't care who they are, I don't want anyone to go to hell. I want everyone not just to be saved and to know Jesus. That's good. But I want to get them closer to Jesus. Here, do you know how neat He is? Do you know how He'll listen? Do you know how you can sit on His lap? Do you know how He'll hold you and touch you? Do you know how He'll kiss you? Do you know how He'll heal you? Did you know He can heal you? Did you know He can? And I just want to get them to Jesus. Jesus shared His vision, shared His heart. He said, you need to pray that the Lord of the harvest would send forth laborers. Then Jesus had all these guys, these followers, disciples, and Jesus spent the night in prayer and said, Father, who do You want to call closer? Who do You want me to spend? I can only spend, there's only so much time I have. There's only so much energy I have. Who do You want me to invest in further? Who are You calling? And the next day, when His crowd gathered around Him, He began to see through the eyes of the Father and said, you're called. I'm calling you. I'm calling you. See, there was those earlier, remember, that were volunteering. I'll go anywhere you want. I'll follow you, but suffer me first to go and bury my father. All these guys volunteering. And then Jesus gave them words to help them deal with truth. Where you're at. Now Jesus is calling because there's 12. He's going to spend time. And I remember 3 years ago when he said that to me, or 4 years ago, close to it. Will you be willing to stay here the rest of your life and not go anywhere and just train the 12? If God himself spent his time training 12. Who do I think I am? You understand? It's like, who are we training? Who has God given us? Who are we discipling? Who's going to respond to the call? I believe he's calling people today. I believe that's what was happening before I got up. I didn't know why he's having me. I was teaching something else, and he said, stop and start doing this. Disciples, family, friends. We have ideas of what those things mean. God has a whole different idea. And when we have ideas, we put things on people. And God is like, no, this is what we need. Look at my way of doing it. Turn to Matthew chapter 13, please, and verse 10. Matthew 13. Guess I have to do it a different way. Matthew 13. Whoops. Back. 13. Verse 10. And the disciples came and said unto Jesus, why speakest thou unto them in parables? His disciples asked questions because they didn't understand. Have you ever asked questions? Pastor Harvey, why did we do this? Pastor Harvey, why did you say that? What did you mean by that? Why don't we do this? Look at verse 36 in the same chapter, chapter 13. Then Jesus sent the multitude away and went into the house, and his disciples came unto him, saying, declare unto us the parable of the tares of the field. Jesus, I heard you speaking to them. I don't know why you're talking to them like that. Why are you putting it all in parables? Why don't you put the cookies on the bottom shelf? And Jesus said, it's not for them to understand. See, they didn't understand his way, but they said, would you make it clear to us? And Jesus said, yes, I will. Because they were his disciples. They were his disciples. What does it mean to be his disciple? Turn to chapter 9 and verse 19. Chapter 9. Verse 19, Matthew 9:19. And Jesus arose and followed him, and so did his disciples. There was somebody that came to Jesus, and he got up and went with the guy. He exampled ministry. I've said to God for a long time, Lord, if you want me to train people, one of the things that you've taught me is discipleship, and that's one-on-one, hands-on training. How can I do that when my time is so consumed with tub glaze? How can I do that? I want to do that. For years, my wife and I took our kids, took other people in the church. She trained the women because they asked her. They asked me to train the men of how to witness to people. How to go out door to door and talk to people about Jesus. How to go out and take Jesus out of these doors. You do understand it's not about trying to get people in this building. The people that come here, they're going to get trained. There's only so many going to... We can only get so many if we had 1,000 people and they were all standing like this. We could only get so many in this building. It's not about getting people in a building. It's about getting Jesus in you that's in this building and sending you out so you go work in Muskegon and you influence all these people. And you go to your public school and you influence people with Jesus. And you go out and you talk to all the people that wherever you go, you know, and you get them to Jesus. It's about you learning how to live Jesus and release Him. He doesn't want to use you. He wants you to know Him, experience Him. And then that is what's going to come out of your life. Because when it works for you, it's going to work for others. Amen. All right. Turn to Matthew chapter 14. Matthew 14 and verse 15. And when it was evening, His disciples came to Him saying, "Hey, this is a desert place and the time is now past. Send the multitude away that they may go into the villages and buy themselves food, victuals." Okay? That's what I want to eat. This is time for our victuals. Okay? Well, down south they call them victuals. But anyway. But Jesus said unto them, "They need not depart. Give ye them to eat." And they say unto Him, "We have here but 5 loaves and 2 fishes. And Jesus said, "Bring them hither to me." And He commanded the multitude to sit down on the grass and took the 5 loaves and the 2 fishes. And looking up to heaven, He blessed and brake and gave the loaves to His disciples and the disciples to the multitude. And they did all eat and were filled. And they took up the fragments that remained, 12 baskets full. And they that had eaten were about 5,000 men beside women and children. Look around, figure percentage. Take the men, and if all of us men were 5,000, how many now women and children you think there were? You see? Okay? So we're somewhere like 20,000, 25,000 people. Okay? Now, I'm not going off on that. I want you to understand something. The disciples, the ones that were close by Him, were able to get involved in ministry, the people that were close to Him, the people that were hanging out, the people that were where He was. Well, why didn't you call me? Why did I have to call you? Why weren't you here? You understand? These aren't my words. These are just things that I'm going through reading. All I did was look up the word disciples. Because that's what I kept feeling like He said to do. And He said, just go through and talk about what you see. Just make it real simple. And just go through. Because folks, if we're going to be His disciples, then there's ways to get there. It's not like you go from where you are to all of a sudden, where, you know, Janai and Dudley going to go to Africa. Well, they got to go through all kinds of stuff here to do what God wants them to do there. I've met missionaries before when I was traveling the country preaching, and they would say to me, "I'm a missionary. I'm going to Africa," or wherever they said they were going. I said, "Oh, really?" And they go, "Yeah." And they liked my preaching and whatever, and they would say, "When I get over to Africa, I'm going to witness and bring people to Jesus." And I said, "Well, are you doing that here?" "Well, no, I'm just getting prepared here." I said, "Well, what you do here is what you're going to do there. If you're not doing it here, you're not going to do it there." "Yeah, but I'm too busy." I said, "If you're too busy here, the devil will make sure to find a way to get you too busy over there." Do you understand? What are you doing? Look in, we're in chapter 14. Look in verse 22 to 26. "And straightway Jesus constrained His disciples to get into a ship and to go before him unto the other side while he sent the multitudes away. Can you imagine? All these people are out in the wilderness. There's no McDonald's nearby, no Burger King, okay? They didn't have charge cards. There's no drive-thru. They're out in the wilderness. And they're all hungry. They've been with Jesus for a while. They're all hungry. And his disciple says, why don't you send them and let them go eat? And Jesus said, why don't you feed them? How do we do that, God? He said, that's why I'm having it happen now before I go home. Y'all can understand about depending on God. And then Jesus said, what do you have? Well, we have this, but what is it among all these people? He said, bring me what you have. What do you have? Well, I'll tithe when I start making more money. No, you won't. You're lying to yourself. Tithe on what you have. Well, I'll give. If I had something to give, you have something to give. I was at a gas station some years ago, back about the time I met Brother Steve, and I was a salesman, and I wore suits and ties, right? Well, I don't like just wearing any kind of tie because I don't want to look normal. I like looking different than everybody, you know? And so I'm there in the gas station, and I start talking to somebody because that's just what I do. And the guy said, I like your tie. And I had the thought, why don't you give it to him? Now, how many of you think the devil gave me that thought? Give him your tie. Did the devil give me that thought? Where do you think that thought came from? It was me because I'm such a good person, right? God, teach me how to recognize your voice. God, teach me how to realize how moment by moment to walk with you and to follow you. When you have thoughts, they start somewhere. Okay? I had the thought, give him your tie. I like that tie. That's why I was wearing it. If I didn't like it, I wouldn't wear it. I don't care what my wife paid for it. I don't care what she thinks. I care what if I like it or not. I liked it. But the thought was, why don't you give it to him? I told him, it's not my life. 1977. How do you want to spend it? How do you want to spend my life? So whatever he says, I just give it to him. I'm not perfect or something. I'm just saying that's my choice. I made this disciple choice. So I took my tie off and I said, here, hand the guy the tie. And he's like, I wasn't asking for it. I said, I know, but God wants to give it to you. Jesus just wants you to have this tie. He goes, thanks. It's really cool. I go, I know. I had more in the closet. And if not, I'll go get another one somewhere. It wouldn't be the same one because I don't wear anything that looks like what anybody else wears. And if I do, then I change it so I look different. If you want to be a disciple, do you want to be a disciple of Jesus? Do you? If you look in Matthew chapter 10, the whole chapter, he gives instructions about being a disciple. He gives warnings about being a disciple. And he gives blessings about being a disciple. Instructions, warnings, and blessings. Read Matthew 10. That is what's going to happen in your life if you are a disciple, a true disciple of Jesus. If you're one that Jesus says, you are my disciple. Matthew chapter 10. John 8:31, he said, then said Jesus to those Jews which believed on him, if ye continue in my word, then are ye my disciples indeed. Chapter 13, verse 35, by this shall all men know that ye are my disciples, if ye have love one to another. John 15:8, that you'd be his disciples, that you'll bring forth much fruit. Okay? Let's look at Luke 14. There's three verses, and I started to say we'll be done, but there's four verses after that. I'm sorry. Luke 14. Start with verse 26. Luke 14, we're going to read 26, 27, and 33. Jesus said, do you want to be Jesus' disciple? He says, if any man come to me and hate not his father and mother and wife and children and brethren and sisters, yea, and his own life also, he cannot be my disciple. Does he mean to hate them, like to despise them, to think bad about them? Is that what he means? It means that in comparison, your love for him needs to be so far beyond what your love is for other people. And he says that's, and he took the closest relationships, which is your natural family. And then he said, now let's make it real, real, where the rubber meets the road. He said, now let's compare it to your own life too. If you don't love me more than your own life, he said, you cannot be my disciple. Verse 27. And whosoever doth not bear his cross and come after me cannot be my disciple. Does that mean that we're supposed to wear jewelry, cross? We got to wear jewelry all the time to be his disciple? What does it mean? To follow him. But what does it mean to bear our cross? To bear his cross? Say what? Say it again.
In English, secret of life, suffer of life, suffer of life, like he suffered,
suffer like he did?
Yeah.
Okay. What did you say? Accept the hard things. What was the cross during the time when Jesus was walking the earth? Do you know what it was? So, by Roman law, if you were found guilty according to the law of like a certain crime or crimes, a level of crimes, they nailed you to the cross and you died. In other words, it was an instrument of death. A cross was like today somebody being hanged, somebody being put in front of a firing squad, or somebody being electrocuted. It was an instrument of death. To be a disciple of Jesus, he said, if you don't bear your cross, you can't be my disciple. That means to have an instrument of death in your life. Notice that when Jesus went to the cross, he didn't take and nail himself there, did he? Somebody else had to nail him. God will allow people in your life that will help to bring about your death to your own life. Will cause you to die to your own way of living, your own way of thinking. Okay? Let's look at verse 33 of Luke 14. Well, this is exciting. So likewise, whosoever he be of you that forsaketh not all that he hath, he cannot be my disciple. Jesus said, basically, I want you to get down. He said, you need to get down to where it's nothing but you and Jesus. It's not, well, it's me and Jesus, but I'm going to bring my kids. It's me and Jesus, but I'm going to bring my wife. It's me and Jesus, but I'm going to bring my car. It's me and Jesus, but I'm going to bring my house. It's me and Jesus, but nobody's taking away my gun. And Jesus said, nothing but you and me. Now I'm going to read these verses. 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 14. 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 14. When you're listening to what I'm saying, you see, there's two worlds. There's the natural world. Is it natural to have emotions? If I slap you, then is it natural for him to get mad, want to slap me back? That's natural, right? That's the natural world. And then there's a supernatural world. When they slapped Jesus, did he slap them back? Maybe he just gave them the look. Is that what he did? So in other words, it was a whole other world, right? A whole other way to live. A whole other way to think. A whole other way to feel. The supernatural world. When you get born again, God comes to live inside of you. Before you're born again, it's real easy to act natural. After you're born again, it's easy to act natural, but then you don't feel good about it anymore. Before, you could feel good about it. But now, you can't feel good about it. It's like we get born again, we become schizophrenic. You know? We're like dual personalities. I'm asking you. I'm sorry. Please forgive me, God. Jesus is calling you today. Do you want to be His disciple? Because you can live in the natural world, but with Jesus, you can't feel good about it. You won't have peace there to live in the natural world. Somebody talks about you, what do you want to do? What is that? Is that okay in Jesus' world, the supernatural world? So do you want to be His disciple? See, He has another way to live. It's His way. And He will come and do it through you, in you. He'll teach you how to depend on Him and let Him live His life through you. 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 14. But the natural man, Brother Harv, when you're talking, this sounds weird. 1 Corinthians 2:14, but the natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness unto him. Neither can he know them, because they're spiritually discerned or spiritually understood. When you get born again, you understand what I'm saying. Your little spirit man inside going, yeah, that's exactly, I know, yeah, He does that to me too, yeah. Same way, I'm schizophrenic too, yeah. I got it. But when I agree with that supernatural life, I have peace, I got joy, I feel like I'm walking on the circumstances instead of circumstances over flooding me. But the natural man, he don't get what I'm saying. The natural man's like, dude, are you kidding? Why would I sign up for that group? Man, they're going to slap me and I'm supposed to smile about it? They're going to nail me to the cross and I'm going to say, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. I'm supposed to not live for me? I'm supposed to, if I have to put, I remember a man, 1978, I'll never forget it. If he wants, if he expects me to put my wife behind him, I'll never be a follower of God. My wife's number one in my life. My wife is number one in my life. My kids. First Corinthians 2:14, the natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness unto him. That is foolish. Why would I do that? Glad you asked. Romans chapter 8, verses 5 and 6. Romans chapter 8, 5 and 6. By the way, 1 Corinthians 2:14 is a good verse to memorize. Romans chapter 8, 5 through 9 is a good passage to memorize. But I'm going to give you a thought to help you. if you have verses jump out at you while we're talking, a certain verse like, wow, that's the verse you need to memorize. Well, I'm not sure how to memorize. You come see me. We're going to go eat our victuals, over here in a little bit. Okay? And you come see me and grab one of those 3x5 cards, the prayer cards, and bring it to me, and I'll show you a principle of how a man memorized almost the whole Bible. And when I heard about it, I read what he did back in 1977. I began to start memorizing. And that's how I did it. One verse at a time, one line at a time, one little phrase at a time. It's easy. Romans chapter 8, verses 5 and 6. For they that are after the flesh, if they live in the natural, they do mind the things of the flesh. They think about the things of the flesh. But they that are after the Spirit, the Holy Spirit, they think about the things of the Spirit. For to be carnally, Spanish word, carnal, it's talking about meat. Carne. I'm trying to think of an English word that transliterates over, but carnal. Chili con carne, chili with meat. Okay? Chili con carne, Mexican type meal. It means chili with meat. Carne, carnal. But for to be carnally minded, to be fleshly minded, is death. But to be spiritually minded is life and peace. To be supernaturally minded, thinking on the things of that, of God. John chapter 18 and verse 36. We've got two more verses, I think. John 18, 36. Jesus answered, my kingdom is not of this world. If my kingdom were of this world, then would my servants fight, that I should not be delivered to the Jews. But now is my kingdom not from hence. He said, this isn't my kingdom. If you can see it, feel it, or touch it, it's the kingdom of this world. If you can't see it, you can't feel it, that's God's kingdom. Love, joy, you can't go buy that stuff. That's the supernatural kingdom. That's Jesus' kingdom. That's which kingdom? Turn to John chapter 6 and verse 66. 6:66. By the way, when they get to where they say, you got to have a number on your body to be able to buy or sell. Do not get that mark. It's called the mark of the beast. It's in the book of Revelation. I don't know what chapter it's in. Chapter 7, chapter 14, somewhere over in there. It's in the book of Revelation, last book of the Bible. Don't get that mark. Sorry? Okay, a mark, a number. It says a number.
Well, right now they have technology to put microchips in your skin.
Right.
Which will have credit cards.
And I don't know about that. I just know in the Bible it says they will put a mark in your hand or in your forehead. And you can't buy or sell without it. Don't take that. I'm not talking about that right now, but I'm just telling you, just in passing. You want to know more about that? I'm going to be sitting over there eating the victuals. Okay. Start with verse John 6:66. You ready? From that time, many of his disciples went back and walked no more with Jesus. Jesus told me to read this today because he's calling some people. Then said Jesus unto the 12, will ye also go away? Then Simon Peter answered him, Lord, to whom shall we go? Thou hast the words of eternal life, and we believe and are sure that Thou art that Christ, the Son of the living God. God's calling. Jesus was surrounded by a crowd, but when He spoke some things that were hard, it says, from that time, many left Him and walked no more with Jesus. And then He turned around. There was 12 of them that stuck. And He said, will you also go away? He's calling you to be His disciple. He wants you to know. Being His disciples to be like Him. He said, a servant can't be greater than his Lord. It's enough that he be like his Lord. We're not going to be better than Jesus, but we're going to be like Jesus. If we're going to be like Jesus, this world, does it seem like when you go to movies and stuff, like the world's getting closer to Jesus, more like Him? They're getting all warm and fuzzy and kind and gentle and others-minded. Is that what it seems like? Seem like the opposite? How about, do they call evil good? There's evil stuff, it's good. How about that new saying, it's wicked, means it's good. I'm sorry? They're calling something good wicked? It's wicked. I say new saying. I know it's been out for a long time. But what I'm saying is, oh, how about that? Yeah, it's supposed to be good? That's sick, man. That's sick. Like that's cool. I just was around some young people and hearing this stuff, and I'm like, that's sick. But I don't mean it the way they mean it. I mean, like, that's sad that you're thinking that way. What I'm saying is calling good evil and evil good. It's evil to obey authority because they're so bad. They're so mean. They won't let me do what I want. This Burger King society, get to have it my way right now, any way I want. Calling evil good. Oh, it's okay. We don't need to get married. We'll just live together. Was there anything that would, you know, I ask a guy, he tells me he's a believer. I say, is there anything that would stop God from blessing you? Nope. I'm doing just fine. Okay. God, you want me to say something? He's like, you can't. He's not open. He can't hear it. God's calling. God's calling. God's calling for people to be His disciples. You could be a disciple in common, just listening, following, going to church, saying you're a believer. But God's calling for His disciples to walk close, to be available. Jesus, you're given an invitation. I'm not going to make this all easy and whatever. I'm not going to make it hard, but it's like right now you're calling people. If there's people that are feeling called right now, and you need to come and just submit that at the altar, just come and submit that or submit that. God, I'm making a decision today. I'm going to be your disciple. Understanding what it means, I'm going to be your disciple. Not just a church member, not just a believer. I want to be your disciple. I want to be someone that you would say is my disciple. Somebody that you would include. Somebody that you would choose. I want to be your disciple. God, I'm committing each one of the words that were said into your hands, Holy Spirit. I'm asking that you would work in our lives, that you would help us to think about and receive, not resist, but receive your word. And that we would be willing to start over, even if it means ground zero, that we can learn to live your life, allowing you, inviting you to come interrupt our life with your word, with your working, Holy Spirit. and bring us into oneness with you. We want to live in the supernatural, not the natural. We want to live in the spirit, not in our emotions. And thank you that you're so kind and patient to help us get there. And thank you that you jump-started by coming to live inside of us. And Lord, we don't want to be schizophrenic. We want to live like Jesus. We don't want to live in the flesh anymore. We don't want to live to the natural. It might be the natural way, but we don't want to live that way anymore. Jesus, there's nobody like you. Thank you for allowing us to know you like we do. And we just say, thank you, Jesus. You're so awesome. Amen.